Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show, My So-Called Fabulous. I'm Tiffany. Welcome, everyone. And hey, have you had symptoms like hair loss? I sure have. Fatigue? How about weight gain? Maybe weight loss? Well, we're here to help today. We are certainly here to help because have you thought about checking your thyroid? Maybe many of you have, maybe you haven't. So after this show today, you are going to know if you're possibly needing to check your thyroid. And I have this fabulous woman back on the show today, Elise Clark with Alive and Well. She is a functional nurse practitioner, and I love her. She takes care of my daughter. She is my buddy. And everyone, welcome back to the show, Elise.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
So good to see you again.
You too. You look great.
Why, thank you. I feel good. Finally. Yes. Hey, finally. Amazing. I am so happy. Okay. So you were on the show. We talked about birth control. And we talked about Ozempic. Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you might have gone viral on me. So, I mean, I love because functional medicine, it covers so much.
Yes.
And when that said, mm-hmm. can you go ahead? Because I really do think people talk to me and they're like, okay, what is it? What is functional medicine? So can you share?
Yeah. So functional medicine, a lot of it is just about getting to the root of your problem as opposed to addressing the symptoms only. And so we really want to get down to, and this is a little bit obvious, we want to get down to the function in your body that's broken. That's where the word functional comes from. So we really want to get your body working better as opposed to just adding a medication or adding some external treatment to mask a symptom. We're really looking at where did the problem start? And a great topic, you know, which we're going to dive into is thyroid and how we manage that a little bit differently. But at its root, we're looking for the root cause. And we don't just do medications. We meld Western medicine with holistic medicine. So love prescriptions when we need them.
Right.
But I really want to be addressing everyone with their lifestyle, their nutrition, their movement, their gut health. Supplements are a big part of what we do. And then other holistic therapies like IVs, infrared sauna, we kind of bring all of those in as needed. Mm-hmm. So instead of one prescription, you might get a lifestyle plan.
Well, and you know, I often wonder, I've made no bones about it. I had breast implant illness. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. And so many physicians were masking and helping. They were helping me, but it was a lot of pharma. Yeah. And I wonder how many of those things I was taking, which I'm taking nothing now. I mean, nothing. And I wonder if that was just aiding to the root cause, right?
Sometimes it can. We call it polypharmacy, you know, where I'm tired and then my cholesterol gets high and then I have this, then I have that, and then I'm depressed. And then we add all these medications on top of each other. And that can actually exacerbate the underlying cause of the symptoms. So again, a big fan of prescriptions when needed, but what are we really treating with that?
Right, and absolutely.
And are we addressing the root is more my question.
Exactly. You know, functional medicine, I looked on Alive and Well, your Instagram page, and longevity, vibrancy, mm-hmm. fertility,
yeah.
hormones, lack thereof, right?
Yeah, that's a big one, lack thereof. No, just kidding. So we really do, we don't want to just help address a symptom or help resolve one problem. We really want to help prevent disease. We want people to live well as long as possible because we're living longer than we ever have. And, you know, we're watching those older generations really struggle through it all. And so I want to make sure that my patients, my friends, my family, that we're not only solving issues, but we're promoting good health in the long run. So that's where the longevity comes from. So we're not going to make you live to be 100 and look like you're 25.
Right.
But we want to make sure that when you're 75 years old, you have really good energy and right. that you're not struggling with the common things like heart disease and all the bad stuff.
I love it. I love it. I turned to functional medicine, gosh, many, many years ago, probably when I, you know, start perimenopause, mm-hmm. and I love it. I mean, it's just a way of life for yeah. me and everyone in my home. But okay, you have talked about on social media, and I've watched you, and you treat thyroid conditions.
Yes.
And I honestly have to say, I do not, knock on wood, there are some wood around here that I, so far so good. I'm lucky. Yeah. Tell us, first of all, your passion for thyroid issues. Yes. Why are you interested? Because you really are passionate about it.
Yeah, I love it because I see it make such a big difference in people's lives. And whenever you see people come in with all these symptoms and then their life changes in so many ways because their thyroid is properly treated, it's hard not to be passionate about that. But what really started me on that path is my mom has Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune thyroid issue. Didn't know that she had it for a really long time. And then once she actually saw Dr. Scott a couple, you know, 5-6 years ago, she was diagnosed and it completely changed her life. I mean, my mom is, I won't say her age because she probably wouldn't like that. But suffice it to say, she's getting a little bit older now and right. She can run circles around me still.
Wow.
Because her thyroid is very well managed.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love hearing that. And Dr. Scott that you mentioned is my doctor and that you worked with, of course.
She's my mentor, always will be.
Well, and so tell us what thyroid is and does. Let's start there.
Okay. So the basics. The thyroid is this gland right here at the base of your neck, kind of right above that notch right here. And you can't really feel it. If it's large enough for you to feel, that's not a good thing. But if you go to a doctor or nurse practitioner or PA that knows what they're doing, they can feel for it. And if we feel it, we're going to have you get a sonogram, et cetera. But basically, it's right here in your neck, and you get signals from your brain to this little gland that it's called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. And the brain is telling the thyroid how much hormone the body is asking for. So in response to that signal, your thyroid makes two hormones, mostly two hormones, T4 and T3. And T4 is the inactive version of that hormone. It circulates throughout your body and then gets converted into T3 at more of that cellular level, then gets inside the cells and helps with, I mean, everything in the body. So from your metabolism, so that includes your weight, your blood sugar, your cholesterol, your brain function, your mood, everything. It's one of the only hormones, really, I think it might be the only one, that has a receptor site on every cell in the body. And so if you have thyroid issues or you know you have thyroid issues and they're not well managed, you can get a wide array of symptoms. The biggest ones are fatigue, weight gain, hair loss. Irregular periods in women, infertility can be one, but I've had people come with just like dry, itchy skin. They can't get rid of a fungus on their skin. There's a lot of skin stuff with thyroid too, but really random nerve pain and it'll go away. So it's really involved in everything. And thankfully, a lot of us don't have issues with it, but those of us that do, if it's not managed, your life can be not as vibrant as you want it to be.
Right. Now, is it more prevalent in women or men, or is it just women?
I feel like everything is more prevalent in women.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It is a lot more common in women. And part of the thinking behind that is we have a lot more hormones going on. Typically, we have a lot more fluctuations, and then childbirth actually ends up being a big trigger for thyroid issues.
Really?
And men obviously don't do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're also significantly more likely to have Hashimoto's as the root cause, which is that autoimmune thyroid issue. Yeah, lucky us.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what? Okay, so I'm just, because I'm not familiar with it, what causes this? What, is there a root cause?
There can be. Sometimes we can't identify it. You know, I'll be the first to say I don't know everything. And
yes, you do.
I don't know what I don't know. With thyroid issues, a lot of times what I find is it can be triggered by something like childbirth. It can be triggered by getting viral infections. And for some reason, those traumatic events in the body, they cause stress, and even viruses can start to attack and live here. And then those cells start to die off and then not make enough thyroid hormone. So sometimes we think it's some kind of chronic underlying viral infection. Really common ones would be Epstein-Barr, mono. Pretty much all of us have had mono at some point. Things like the chickenpox shingles, those we've all kind of gotten exposed to those at some point too. So we think those can be triggering events. Like I said, childbirth, other hormone changes, nutrient deficiencies, mineral deficiencies from really poor diet, or just lack of nutrient-dense food, or gut issues. There are so many minerals that go into making the thyroid hormones, and we can only compensate for so long. So I don't typically find that there's one obvious root cause, like your thyroid is bad just because you had a baby. It's usually a little bit of genetics, a little bit of nutrient deficiency, a lot of it's stress, let's be honest.
Sure.
We're pretty stressed out, but the thyroid is a very fragile gland at its core.
So let me interrupt the show just for a minute. Eating healthy has always been a priority. However, when life gets busy, it makes it harder to maintain healthy eating habits, which is why I'm loving Personal Trainer Food. Personal Trainer Food is an easy and cost-efficient way to have healthy meals ready in minutes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. With 75-plus restaurant-quality menu items to choose from and meal plans designed to fit your needs, these delicious meals make it easier than ever to reach your health goals. Simply select your plan, your meals, and get 7 to 24 days worth of meals delivered right to your doorstep. So far, y'all, my favorite meals are egg bites in the morning and fire-braised chicken breasts during the day or at night. Head to personaltrainerfood.com to get started and use code TIFFANY35 for 35% off your order. Again, that's personaltrainerfood.com. Use TIFFANY35 at checkout.
I read on your Instagram, adrenals, cortisol, and thyroid, all that has to do with stress, which, like you said,
right,
that's where we are. We just aren't.
Unfortunately, our society really values being overly stressed and going and not resting. And if you're constantly on the go, whether you're doing it to yourself or maybe there's life circumstances that you don't have control over and your stress is just chronically high, your adrenal glands will overproduce cortisol until they can't. And then once your adrenals start to get burnt out and those stress hormones can't be made quite as well, your thyroid tries to really compensate for that. And it can only do that for so long before those cells get burnt out as well. Mm-hmm. And the adrenals, the thyroid, the ovaries, all of it's so connected. There's a problem over here. We're just waiting on a problem over here.
Exactly. So how do you test? Is it a blood test?
Yeah, it's a blood test. It's really pretty easy. And most commonly, what's checked in your traditional setting would be that TSH brain signal. It's usually the only one that your traditional doctors would check. And I believe we need to be checking at least the main three, which would be the brain signal TSH, the inactive hormone T4, and then that active hormone T3, because there has been a lot of data coming out in the last couple of decades about people not converting T4, the inactive hormone, into T3. So you could have normal looking TSH, normal looking T4, but if you're not converting it into T3, you're not getting that cellular function that we need. So you can still be symptomatic. So I at minimum check those three and will often add on something called a reverse T3, which can show up there's a lot of inflammation related to the thyroid, can slow your metabolism down. So we're not supposed to have too much of it. But in general, the T3 and reverse T3 keep each other kind of accountable, make sure one doesn't outweigh the other. And then I initially will almost always check for Hashimoto's. There's two antibodies, big ones that I check for. And it's pretty astonishing how often I catch it.
Really? Gosh, yeah. I know. It's amazing the number of friends that I have that are dealing with that.
Yeah.
So you talk about how to test for it. How are you treating this?
So if it's borderline, oftentimes we focus on more lifestyle changes. Now, I would do that no matter what with any patient,
sure.
But there is a tipping point where your thyroid cells, they don't come back. They don't regenerate themselves. So oftentimes I do use medications because if someone's thyroid hormones are bad enough, I know, okay, we're not coming back from this just with supplements. And a lot of times people will come to me already on thyroid medication, and then I help them tweak which one works best for them. But in general, if we're talking about lifestyle changes, I will reduce stress, which, you know, it's so much easier said than done, right? But supporting the adrenal glands, supporting your body's natural detox pathways, adding in some minerals, most vitally would be selenium. It's one of the best minerals for your thyroid. But in general, making sure all minerals, all vitamins, your Bs, your D, boosting up your immune system and reducing stress at the same time can often take the pressure off of that gland. And then there is a lot to do with gut health. I mean, and you know, journey, the gut impacts everything. And so if people are not digesting well, if there's a lot of inflammation in their gut, they're not absorbing nutrients. Mm-hmm. And then that impacts their thyroid, their ovaries. And so sometimes it's just a matter of getting their gut better, because then their body can do what it's supposed to on its own.
Right.
So it's usually multifaceted. Medication when needed, supplements, usually with quite a few minerals, and then
getting that lifestyle, the stress down, making sure you're sleeping. And unfortunately for women, some of us tend to be over-exercisers, which is not good for the thyroid. So that sometimes I have to help people rein in.
Right. So, okay, you talk about your mom, and I'm not sure when her onset was, but for me, I'm 59. Do you project, like, could I have a problem at this age?
It's always possible,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But knowing you and how well you take care of yourself, how mindful you are, you do all the anti-inflammatories, you do all the holistic practices, mm-hmm. the detoxing, the exercising, the eating, I would not suspect it in someone like you.
Okay.
But in someone who might have had chronic stress, gone through menopause, not feeling good, really hasn't been taking good care of themselves, I would suspect it a little more in that population.
And do you see someone in their 20s? I mean,
I have.
Okay.
Because there is that genetic component too.
Oh, yeah.
And so that doesn't guarantee. Our genetics are not a guarantee of who we become. But sometimes there is that underlying push, you know, their mom, their grandma, their aunt, everyone has it. And so then they go through a minor triggering event, like they get a viral illness that doesn't mm-hmm. clear, that harbors in the thyroid, and then it develops that autoimmune attack. So not as common. Usually, and it's hard for me to say because most people are coming to me when they're in their 30s, 40s, and over. And that's what I'm seeing it.
Right.
But I don't commonly see it in my younger population patients. I'll say that.
Right.
But it is possible, and I have a few.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
No one knows everything.
Exactly. Okay. So TSH, you talked about this earlier. Is there a level that you're looking for, and I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about when I look into your eyes, is there a level that you look for or not really?
Yes. So even within those levels that I was talking about, no matter what I'm checking, there's a normal reference range that the labs will give us. Most commonly in Dallas, we use Quest or LabCorp. And the range for the TSH is 0.4 to 4.5, pretty standard across all labs. And if you're in that normal range, this is a little bit how functional medicine differs than traditional. If you're in the normal range, your more conventional doctor would probably say nothing is wrong. Whereas for me, if you're starting to get to the wrong end of a reference range, I'm already waving some red flags what's going on here. Because we know that symptoms usually start when you're close to the edge of these ranges. For a TSH, you actually want it to be on the low side. And that means that your brain is not over-signaling. The higher your TSH, the more stress the brain is putting on the thyroid to tell it, you're really not doing a good enough job here. I need you to do better. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have a perfect range. I hate giving a specific number just because I have patients whose TSH is 3.5 and they feel fantastic and their labs are perfect. And then I have some patients who their TSH is 2 and they need a dose increase on their medication. So it's very individualized, but I will say if you're starting to creep to the edges of any reference range for a TSH, T4, T3, my ears are perked up and I want to know what symptoms you're having and what else is going on in your body. Because ideally, we want to see a lower TSH. That means less stress is being put on the thyroid and a higher normal level T4 and T3. Because mm-hmm. then that means those good hormones that are circulating are high enough to keep your metabolism going.
Right. You talked about medicating. Okay, so you mentioned food, lifestyle.
Yes.
Then supplements. Is there a medication? Then you would go to pharma if necessary. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And again, not against prescriptions. I just don't
want it to be
that. My first choice. So levothyroxine, which is the generic of Synthroid, I think it was recently the number one prescribed drug in the United States. And that, a lot of thyroid issues going on. So that is just T4, and that is the inactive hormone. And there's a good chunk of people who feel great whenever they have a thyroid issue. We add in just that T4, and then their body converts it into the T3, and they feel pretty good. It's generally my experience, people come to me when that's not working. So what I'll usually do is add in T3 along with that to kind of mimic what the thyroid's naturally doing, because about 80% of what the thyroid makes is T4 and about 20% is T3 kind of mixed in with a few others. But if I can mimic what the body is naturally doing, people generally feel better. So what I'll do is T4, the inactive hormone, in combination with a little bit of the active T3. And you can do that from major pharmaceutical brands that you get from CVS, Walgreens, those places. And then I also really like to do porcine or pork-based thyroid medication.
Oh.
So they were the first ones we had, and they were a little less reliable. I'm talking like 50, 60 years ago, because we were getting them from pigs,
their
thyroid hormones. And so when Synthroid came out, it became the gold standard because the dosing was a lot more predictable. Okay. But now, you know, the last 50 plus years, the dosing on the porcine-based medications is very accurate. And so that gets you T4 and T3 in one pill. And being from an animal-based source, oftentimes we absorb it better as humans.
Why not?
We're also animals, right?
Yes.
And then there's also the option to do compounded versions of T4, T3, making them extended release. I have so many options.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, and I love it because I don't really have many patients on just the same exact thing.
Right.
You know, there's usually a mix of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and where do you feel your best, and then what are your labs telling me? So even within thyroid, there's so much that we can customize, not just these standard doses of levothyroxine.
Right. So this is good news.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like it, because it's a little bit of a puzzle for each patient.
Right.
What are you going to feel your best on? Because not everyone feels good on porcine. Not everyone feels good on levothyroxine. So it's a little trial and error, which can take some time, but it's totally worth it.
Right. Okay, so talk to me about this. Hypo versus hyper, and I asked you before the show, is this a thing? Because my college roommate, one of them, had hyper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you explained to me the difference, because there is a difference.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So hypo is really what I've been talking about. Your thyroid isn't working well enough, so we need to add the hormone back in or help your body make more of it. That means it's underperforming. Hypo. So, you know, under. And then hyperthyroid, you know, think of a hyperactive kid. There's just too much. Right. Too much going on. And so hyperthyroid is
my daughter's in the studio, and she just raised her hand.
Yeah. So hyperthyroid is more of a endocrine setting disorder, because you have to somehow get the thyroid to stop making too much hormone, because that can lead to significant health issues really quickly. If you're overproducing thyroid hormone, it can be autoimmune related, and a lot of times we don't know what causes it. But if you're overproducing T4 and T3, it causes rapid heart rate, a lot of weight gain, a lot of weight loss. You're really hungry, but the food isn't sticking around. You're losing your hair. Your skin is really oily. And those people really have to get that solved in a more traditional medical setting first, because that can be life-threatening.
Yeah.
So I will treat people in my clinic after they've gone through the initial therapy for that. And I have opinions about which ones work best and which don't, mm-hmm. but I am not in the endocrine setting anymore, so I don't do those treatments. So I kind of can help guide people along what I think would be the best way to stop the thyroid from overproducing. But in terms of treating that, that's endocrine setting. And then someone can come to a functional clinic and really get the thyroid managed better from there. Because usually if you're getting treatment for being hyperthyroid, you end up hypothyroid.
Wow.
Because they either remove it, they do this ablation that kills the cells, or you take medication to calm it down. That's a little bit of a different setting, but I see patients for that after the fact.
Right. And that you would suggest they go to an endocrinologist.
Yes. And we've had that question a couple times recently, you know, can I see for hyperthyroid? And because it is more of a critical medical issue, we have them go that traditional route because they really need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I know several people going through this right now that are not getting treated at all. Okay. What's going to happen?
With the hyperthyroid?
Mm-hmm. The hypo.
Hypo. Okay. So hypo, in the long run, not physically, you might notice your hair is falling out. Your skin is really dry. You're going to gain weight. Internally, what I am worried about is I will see your blood sugar go up quickly. I will see your cholesterol skyrocket, and your bones can start to deteriorate a lot faster. So it's these internal things that are, when they're not managed, it can be life-threatening more in a long-term sense. But I think that undertreated thyroid in women especially is what contributes to a lot of our incidence of heart disease and bone loss. Because without enough T4, T3, we're not functioning as well as we should.
I know.
And it's really the heart stuff that gets me, because I see it on labs all the time. I will have a patient come in, undertreated thyroid or untreated thyroid issues. Their cholesterol and sugars are sky high. And we don't do too much other than add the thyroid in, and they come right back down to normal.
Wow.
So that's kind of where functional medicine comes in. You know, if your traditional doctor saw that, they might put you on a diabetic drug and a cholesterol drug. Whereas I'm thinking, that thyroid is not working well. Let's try that first.
Okay.
And then if the levels normalize, we were on the right track.
So I'm going to present this question to you, because I will have someone comment or message me about this. And they'll say, this is all well and good, but I can't afford functional medicine.
Right.
Can they go to their primary care, their Western doctor? What are your thoughts on that? Because insurance will cover it.
Right.
You know?
So, and I understand that. Unfortunately, to do what we do in functional medicine, we can't get the insurance reimbursement to spend the time with patients. So that's why most functional clinics end up being cash pay. And I find that a lot more people are wanting to pay for the care that they want, which is great. But then it does, unfortunately, price people out of care. So I would say go to your primary care doctor or endocrinologist and just ask about other options. There are quite a few who are open. You know, they might not do it as often. It might not be their first choice, but they will often listen and try to help find a middle ground. I mean, I know my mom's primary care doctor was helping her try to figure it out. And then once she got with Dr. Scott, they really honed in on it. And so it's not like there's always a big resistance to these other approaches. It's really just the gold standard is levothyroxine. And if that doesn't work, then it must be something else.
Right.
And I do, unfortunately, find that the older doctors are a little more stuck in their ways, not as open to this. That's not always the case, but in general. And then the younger generation, they're starting to be a lot more open to it, even in the traditional setting.
You know, and the reason I started this podcast was to help, and that's what I'm doing, bringing people on like yourself, you know, practitioners that can help create questions to send to your primary care.
Right.
You know what I mean? To present to your primary care, you know, just.
Yeah. And so I would say if you have a thyroid issue or you're worried about thyroid issue, ask for a TSH, T4, and T3 on your labs. It's really easy to add those on because you're going to have to get them anyways. And then talk to your doctor about adding in T3.
Yeah.
Because most doctors are pretty comfortable adding it in from the traditional approach of, you know, where they can get it from a regular pharmacy. Some are more resistant to the porcine thyroid hormone just because of, again, there's this old stigma about the dosing not being as accurate, which is not true anymore, but that's okay.
Right.
We're not going to change everyone's mind.
No.
But I would say ask for those three labs and then ask about adding T3 therapy along with whatever you're doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to shift this just a little bit because you at Alive and Well, which I'm so excited for you.
Yes.
You know, you guys take that holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things, I talked to you about this earlier, is boosting our immune system.
Right.
Right? And we need to do that. I mean, we went through a pandemic and I feel like our resistance are low. Our immunities are low.
Yeah.
How can we do that? How at Alive and Well would you suggest to your clients, your patients to do that?
So some of it's just going to be the supplements. You know, during cold and flu season, I have everyone take vitamin D. If you don't know your levels, 5,000 is a pretty safe dose, 5,000 units. Vitamin D, 5,000 units. Vitamin C, about 1,000 milligrams. And then zinc, about 20 milligrams. So if we're talking about an immune-boosting kind of stack of supplements, those are the core ones, I would say. Definitely during cold and flu season, or if you're just in a period of life where you're really stressed, you can't calm down, you're not taking great care of yourself, your body probably wants those anyways.
Right.
So those are some really basic things that people can do safely, even if they don't know their lab values. And then the additional therapies that I am so stoked to have would be red light therapy. It's wonderful. It penetrates your body differently than anything else and helps promote healing. Mm-hmm. There's IV therapies, and we have wonderful customizable IVs. So depending on your particular stage of life, what you're dealing with, we can recommend which nutrients you need an IV. And it does, it just gets to the body faster. So we often have people come if they're sick or about to travel, you can do those periodically kind of stack together and get over whatever it is faster, or kind of prevent yourself from getting sick.
Right.
Those are two great ones. One of my favorites that's I did yesterday, so it's fresh on my mind, is ozone therapy.
Right.
And I call it hyperoxygen. It's like extra oxygenated oxygen. Mm-hmm. So instead of our normal oxygen we think of, which is O2, so two oxygen molecules, it actually has three. And it's just this clear gas. It has a little bit of a smell, but not really bad, but you'll know it's there. And you can actually do it IV. And then how I did it yesterday was you pull it up in a syringe that does not have a needle. Sometimes people think of syringe and needle. It's just a blunt syringe, and it goes right into your ears, right into your nose. You can even do it in a nasal cannula, or you breathe it in. And it just gets to those tissues. And what happens is that extra oxygen molecule breaks off. So going back to chemistry, everything likes to be in a pair. Right. And oxygen is already a pair. If there's three of them, the extra two stay together. That one that's a one-off, it starts binding with free radicals and viruses and things that aren't supposed to be there because those are also unstable molecules. So when that oxygen grabs onto it, it helps the body detoxify it. And then you're also just getting pure oxygen into places that you normally don't. And so oxygen's very healing in and of itself.
Right.
And you can actually do it vaginally and rectally, which doesn't sound fun.
Right.
But it's completely painless. You actually do it yourself. And that's really good because those tissues are so thin. You not only help treat those areas for things like endometriosis, irregular periods, gut issues, but it actually gets into the whole body really well that way because those membranes are so thin. So we do all of that, and it's not that you have to do all of these things all the time, but if you go into a center like Alive and Well, even if you're not a patient, we have so many hospitality staff members that can help guide you on what your goals are and what therapies you should be implementing. And then our functional medicine patients, you know, we're there to help facilitate
right.
that as well.
Right. Now, with the ozone therapy, is there one method of delivery that's better than the other?
I don't think so, because I think it depends on what we're targeting. Mm-hmm. And I think for whole body detox, really more probably like you after you're recovering from your surgeries,
right.
doing IV is probably the best thing to do initially.
Right.
But if you're just struggling with something like ear infections, allergies, or irregular periods, doing them targeted areas mm-hmm. is really sufficient, a lot less costly, and pretty quick and easy.
Right, right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. One's not better than the other. It depends yeah. on what you have going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did the IV. And it was before surgery, but it's time to start.
It helps so much with the healing process. It makes it go faster.
So.
And then we have a hyperbaric chamber. So we have healing.
Yes.
I'm so excited because that is underutilized. You know, professional athletes have them in their houses. Right. Why don't we have access to them?
Right.
It helps. It's just getting oxygen directly into your body in ways that you can't otherwise. So it helps promote healing. It's used a lot of times for recovery from major surgeries, for wound healing. That's more the traditional setting, but we like to add it on for, you know, athletes, for recovery, for cancer patients. If their oncologist is not really integrative, this is a very safe thing that they could add on as long as they get approval.
Right.
And just for feeling good and anti-aging, it's there too.
Elise, after my surgery, Dr. Whitfield, he had me in his hyperbaric chamber for a week. You know, daily,
mm-hmm.
and for an hour. And then when I came back to Fort Worth, I couldn't find one except yeah. in the hospital setting,
right.
which was the big, big, big dogs.
Yeah.
And now to know that y'all have it mm-hmm. and when you're opening is so exciting because I will drive to Dallas and head on over. But it helped me heal so much.
It does.
It's amazing. It is. Okay. So we are going to come and see you, but you guys are offering to the listeners and followers and the viewers of my podcast.
Yes.
You are having an offer for us.
Yes. So we are going to have a code, and it can get you $100 off of services with us. And so we're really excited. We want everyone in Dallas and all the surrounding areas to know about us. We want to make our services a little more accessible. And so we're really excited to offer that to your listeners.
Yes, and that code is Tiffany100, mm-hmm. and that's $100 off the services at Live and Well.
Yeah.
And so give them a call and go see Elise. Yeah. But this is also in the show notes now. You can just click a link and go right to it. So I have to think about
it. Well, and I believe it applies to the functional medicine service.
The functional medicine service, which I love. And, you know, do yourself a favor. I say every time you have one body, we were given one body, you got to take care of it. It's our duty.
It is.
It is. Absolutely. Well, how can we find you?
So Alive and Well is where I work, where the Wellness Center is, and we are opening up at the end of April. Super excited. And our Instagram is at aliveandwell.health. And then my personal one, which I am trying to be better about, is my name, Elise Clark, E-L-I-S-E-C-L-A-R-K, F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, P as in Paul, because sometimes that doesn't sound right. So it's Elise Clark, F-N-P, which stands for Family Nurse Practitioner.
Family Nurse Practitioner. Yeah. There she is. So thank you so much for
coming.
You're welcome.
You're always so good to be here.
To come and talk to
you. Of course. I want everyone to know. I think everyone should have access to this game.
I have to. I am so pleased that you do. And I know that you're just a blessing to our family for sure.
Yes.
So everyone, thank you so much for following along, listening, and watching us on YouTube. And you know, we're going to have all of this information on the show notes. And I say it every time, every week, keep being fabulous.